Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good morning, good night, good day. This is Thomas with The Philosophy Show, blogtalkradio.com/philosophy. You can also check out youtube.com/blastoffreshair. It is officially September the 8th, Thursday, 2016. It's episode 154. It's a call-in show. If you want to call in, the guest call-in number is area code 646-929-1344. Again, that's area code 646-929-1344, 1344. And it is 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So what do you know? Today's episode is titled, "We'll Be Back After Election, November 10th. Check out new blogtalkradio.com/election channel. That's right. I will be back after Election Day, November 10th, 2016. That's the same time frame, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Eastern Standard Time, 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Thursday morning. But I'm not going to be off the air. I'm just going to use my other channel, which I'm going to use for 2 months, and that's going to be blogtalkradio.com/election channel. So be sure to check it out. I think I'm going to have it active probably, it could be this weekend, but I'll just say Monday to be safe, September 12th. And what that's going to be is I'm going to use a paid membership on that one. This one's for free. This one's for fun. You know, just like to just kind of keep my mind twirling once a week on this, maybe talk to some interesting people. It's a half an hour. It's a call-in show. If you want to call in, go ahead. But that other channel is I'm going to be interviewing candidates who are running for the U.S. Congress, the House and the Senate. These are going to be candidates that are on the ballots. It's probably going to be in a more prime time area time because I'm going to pay for it for a month and, you know, get a free month free or whatever. And so there's 2 months remaining, and if a candidate agrees to come on, then they'll come on and we'll have a call-in and I'll do an interview first for like a half an hour and then we'll open it up for phone calls. I'm not sure what time of day it's going to be. It could be random times or I'll try to announce things ahead of time. I might try to have a consistent schedule, but some of them are just going to be pre-recorded, but they're going to be unique live. And good questions and answers and showing you your options. So basically what I want to do is show people that I want to focus on Congress because it's not so divisive. I mean, you know, you look at the majority of the people don't like Hillary or Trump, but the people that do like those two, wow, are they ever so frisky about, you know, supporting their candidates. I'm not even going to really go there. I mean, there's no changing them. I want to see Gary Johnson in the debates. Not so much that I agree with everything that he says. I think it's how this game is played that matters, not whether you win or lose, because how it's played is whether you win or lose. And if they win based on how, then, you know, we can expect the lesser of two evils every time. And it's come to a point where we have two people with a 60% unapproval, unfavorable rating. I mean, some people are just in their bubbles. I mean, in fact, I saw this cool morphed picture of morphed Trump and Hillary. Is kind of actually hilarious. But, you know, I'm not going to get into Trump, Hillary, Clint Trump, whatever you want to call it. What is less divisive is Congress. You can talk to people about Congress. That's where the real action is anyways. You know, we have three branches of the government. Congress, the House, is voted on every 2 years. You know, I'm not going to interview write-in candidates. These are people that gathered enough signatures to be on the ballot so that they deserve to have a say. If we really want to change this country and have more competition, the Congress is where it's at. I mean, there's poll after poll after poll of what Americans want but don't get. And we're not being represented, right? So, I mean, if you were a movie actor and you hired a talent agent to represent you and they kept giving you these rip-off deals, wouldn't you fire them after a while? If you're a book author and if you hired an agent to get you a publisher but they kept ripping you off, wouldn't you hardly any hesitation to fire them? You know, Congress is supposed to work for us. We pay their bills. You know, it's supposed to be an honor to serve. Instead, they use it as a way to pay to play and et cetera. But the president's so big, it has so much media attention, people aren't going to change their minds hardly. Maybe they would after they see the debates. But that's why we're just going to focus on Congress. I mean, imagine if this year we could even get like 10 independents, people who are, you know, beyond partisanship or some third parties in Congress. And then imagine 2 years from now we had maybe 25 more, and then 2 years from there we had 50 more, and then 2 years from there, you know, till like in 10 years from now we had 100 people in Congress, which there's about 400 and something members. Competition matters. I mean, if you're in a marketplace and you only have one internet service provider, you know, don't expect low rates or good service, right? I mean, if you look at first world countries like in Europe and some other places, there isn't a country in the world except the U.S. that doesn't have at least four major political parties. They have a lot of competition. There isn't, and all of those countries pay about half of what we do in healthcare. All those countries have a higher standard of living, lower poverty rates. All of those countries have, you know, better education, sorry to say it. I mean, you know what we're number one in? We're number one in incarceration rates. We're number one in rape. We're number one in, you know, bad things. I mean, I have a list here. I don't want to read them all off. It's kind of depressing, but I can. In fact, maybe I will. I'll just be a party pooper here and just read off some of the things that we're number one in. Bring it up right now. All right, we're number one. Yeah, we're number one in the divorce rates, in teen birth rates, in heart attacks, in CO2 emissions, in plastic surgery, in prisoners, total crimes, McDonald's restaurants, going to war. We spend more than like the next 10 countries combined. You know, Afghanistan's the longest war we've ever been in. And they're not like really a first-rate country, are they? I mean, it's not like we're fighting Nazi Germany or something, or the Soviets. I mean, we're fighting Afghanistan, and it's the longest war we've ever been in. But you know, in Germany, it costs half the amount to produce solar. You know, Germany, which doesn't hardly get as much sunlight as the United States, which is higher up north on the earth, they have a lot, you know, great amount of their energy comes from solar. And we could have more, but instead we choose to go to war over oil. I mean, honestly, if Iraq didn't have a drop of oil, do you think we would have spilt a drop of blood going there? Be honest. So there are real issues. Did you know if we freed all the people that are in prison right now for nonviolent, specifically nonviolent, just drug crimes, we would free more people that were freed at the end of slavery? I mean, there's been tens of millions of people that have been put in prison for nonviolent drug crimes, which at the least should be treated as a health issue. And at the least, whether you agree with me or not, I think we should all be open to debate. I mean, there's 300 million people in this country alone. We're never going to agree on everything, and hardly a lot of things. I mean, one thing I think we can agree on is freedom of speech. That's about it, folks. I mean, and just, you know, some sense of being treated fairly in a system. But what that sense is different from everyone. I mean, and it's not surprising. I mean, you have that much, that amount of people. I mean, it's just, I mean, supposedly we can all agree on the Bill of Rights. I mean, there's got to be at least, like, a list of fundamental things that we all agree on. That's why we're in a democratically elected republic. I think we agree with the sentiments of, you know, it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play, because how is what? I mean, if you want to end the drug war or end drug use, let's say, it doesn't matter. It's how you implement it that matters, because the how is the what. If you treat it as a health issue and education, then it's no longer a war on drugs. It's education and health. If you treat it as war on drugs, where, you know, did you know there's more asset forfeiture last year than there was burglaries? Yeah, the government took over $1 billion of people from asset forfeiture before proven innocent, supposed to be innocent before proven guilty, then people were robbed. I mean, that was like in a Washington Post or something. I've been going over a lot of stats lately and looking at a lot of polls, because I'm creating a video for crowdfund for my election channel. Which, by the way, you're going to want to visit blogtalkradio.com/election channel, because, again, this channel is going to take a little hiatus until Election Day, but I'm going to be active on the other channel in full force at blogtalkradio.com/election channel. If you didn't hear that, you can re-listen to this when it posts later. And, you know, that's what I mentioned at the get-go. But, so, of competition, I mean, let's just think about competition for a second. I mean, does competition matter? I mean, where you live, what do you think about the word competition? Are you scared of your competition, or do you embrace competition? And, you know, there could be some exceptions. I mean, you know, you don't want competition in a relationship, a romantic relationship. But, I mean, besides that, that's like a safe base, right? So, but I mean in business and stuff. Remember that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, where the Santa recommended that person go to the other store, but they ended up getting more business? I think that's actually really, a lot of times, true. Like, you know, there's a recording thinking of the presidential debates and our politics of competition with political parties. I mean, the more choices you have, just like the more options you would have for internet services, the more competition, the better pricing and service, et cetera, and representation you're going to get. In all the countries I just mentioned, the first world countries that I just mentioned, all have a lot more competition in that regard. But it makes you look better if you're not scared of competition. Like, I mean, it's kind of funny. It's do unto others as you want done unto yourself. Like, Gary Johnson kind of doesn't want to debate Jill Stein because he doesn't want the competition or her siphoning his votes. Yet he does want to be in the debates with Trump and Hillary. So if he wants that, he should treat Jill Stein the same way he wants to be. He should have a one-on-one debate with her. He shouldn't be afraid of her. He should embrace her. It makes him look bigger. It makes him look more generous. If you're not scared of your competition, it makes you seem more confident and more generous. If you're scared of your competition and trying to stomp them out, you know what it actually makes you seem like? It makes you seem small and petty and not seeing the big picture and just caught up in, you know, just smallness, like Trump's small hands. I mean, in the year 2000, there's a recording of him on YouTube where he, you know, complain about the presidential debates having for third parties or independent third party candidates needing to reach a 15% threshold, because he said it was not fair. It's not a fair playing field. You know, he should debates. He should say, I want Johnson in the debates. It would make him seem more generous. It would make him seem more like he's principled about a fair playing field. Gary Johnson actually, Trump is ahead of Hillary in the polls right now. Gary Johnson might very well take away more votes from Hillary than he does from Trump. Very well might. Believe it or not. So it's only going to make him look better if you're not afraid of competition. John F. Kennedy wrote a book called Profiles in Courage. It's about sticking with your principles. And a lot of times it works out better in the end if you do, even though it doesn't apparently at first seem like it does. And so Trump should embrace Johnson and tell him to come in a debate, say, you know what, I like you. It would make him actually court his followers a lot more. You know, if Trump actually said, you know, I like that Gary Johnson guy. I want him in the debates, you know, let the best person win. Oh, my God, if he actually said that, and I'm not afraid of him, I know where I stand, and we'll have a debate. I don't need rehearsals. Not that they're a bad idea necessarily, but, what do you think kind of impact that would have? And he could still be strong on issues and stuff and not afraid to debate and just laugh things off. And, you know, then a lot of people that are voting for Gary Johnson might be like, maybe Trump's not such a bad guy. Maybe. I don't think he's going to do that. And if he does, I don't know if he's going to be sincere about it. And that's the same thing, and I think Gary Johnson should be in the debates. It's how you play the game that matters, okay? Let the best person win. What's so bad about that? You might say there's just 2 months to election. Well, we haven't even had the first debate. People used to argue that we should have shorter election cycles. So what do you want? You want consistency across the board, consistency based on principles, which equals integrity. You don't want to determine outcomes, you want to determine opportunity. And that's the American way. That should be the universal way. Do unto others, the golden rule. These are just common sense truths. These are things we should all agree upon. And likewise with Gary Johnson, he should embrace Jill Stein. If Gary Johnson had any cunning strategy at all, he would have a debate with Jill Stein. And since they're both, lower on the debates, like Gary Johnson has 10%, which is actually not bad. He has to get to 15%, which he's almost, 66% of the way there. And Jill Stein has about 5%. So Gary is thinking, if Jill wasn't in there, that 5% would be going to me. Who knows if it would or not? I have no idea. Maybe it wouldn't go anywhere. But you know what would help you is, instead of avoiding her, have a big debate, let it get news attention, and maybe if both of you had cunning, you both could help each other out. Maybe both of you could have a debate, Gary and Jill, the Libertarian and Green Party candidates, the other two legitimate options. We really should have four options this year. And what if they decided not to attack each other in an hour and a half or 2 hour long debates? And really work on consensus and debate, but then really also take the time to show that, because if they worked on consensus, American people would see that and think, wow, these people are a lot more mature than Clinton and Trump. They both would probably go up in the polls. Jill would probably go to 10%, and Gary would probably maybe go to 15%. And they could also spend another half of it bashing Trump and Hillary. Because they do have a lot of consensus, ending the drug wars, ending the wars, helping small businesses. You could spend a whole hour talking about those three issues themselves. And I'm sure there's more. I just have to think about it. Civil liberties, privacy, the NDA, the Homeland Security apparatus, and et cetera and so on. So don't be afraid of your competition. Within reason. Most of the time, it's going to make you look better. You can learn something from it. And truly, it's not about any person. I wish they all would want the best person to win, although can't really trust anything. You know, it's hard to trust what they say. I mean, Gary Johnson actually has been a governor for 2 terms. He's the only one out of running that has been a governor. Jill Stein and Trump haven't had any political office, and I don't think it really matters, to be personally honest. But just talking about, as people say, Hillary's more the most qualified. Well, I don't think she really is. I mean, she was a senator for like a term and a half and was Secretary of State, and you know, she did a lot of pay to play. I mean, that's it. I mean, she was first lady. I mean, but that's not a position. I mean, and that just means like we don't want royalty. I mean, to me, that's not a good thing necessarily. I mean, you know, I don't think we want people voted on their family name, and we should give more other people a chance. You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, one thing about Clinton is, I mean, he did help her husband, the deficit go down a little bit. I guess that's a good thing. He did cut back on some military spending, but I mean, he'd had that terrible Waco thing. I mean, he passed gun legislation. He deregulated some of the Wall Street things and had some corrupt people in there. So he's escalated the drug war and created NAFTA. I mean, those are all bad things. Reducing the debt, I think, was a good thing. I mean, if you look at the budgets, I mean, it was going down all the way till Reagan, and Reagan made it explode, and then Bush, and then Clinton made it go down, and then it's been up ever since. I mean, you know, the debt is serious. I mean, right, if the interest rates go up, I mean, what's a normal, I mean, interest rate is about 5%, 4%, even 2%. It would almost eat up our entire budgets. What do you do then? Are you just going to keep it low forever? I mean, so, all right, we got 7 minutes. If you want to call in, you know, feel free to. Otherwise, I am going to end the show a little early and start working on that other channel, libertarianprogressive.com, blogtalkradio.com/election channel. That's what I'm going to be working on for the next 2 months. You're going to hear interviews on there. It's going to be on prime time. You're going to hear interviews of people besides Republicans and Democrats, people that are on the ballot that will have a legitimate chance to win. And what I want to do is work on consensus. I'm going to interview people that are the only third party or independent candidate that's on the ballot in their district. So whether you're a libertarian or a progressive, you can get behind this person because they're going to be the only third party in that district. So when I try to do these interviews, I'm looking for people that don't have any other competition except just the Republican and the Democrats. In some districts, there isn't even anyone running against the incumbents. You know, I'd say throw them all out. Throw them all out. You know, I have like 10 of my favorites, but I mean, there are some good people in government, some good elected officials, but I mean, again, if you were like an artist and you hired an agent to try to hook you up with deals and promotions, like if you're a musician and you hired an agent to represent you, and they kept ripping you off left and right, you know, you would fire them. And Congress works for us. We don't work for them. And I think just all need to take a step back and just one thing at a time. The first thing that we can do is engage one other person or something like this where you might reach more people and, you know, try to find consensus. You know, if we actually worked on the 5 or so issues that everyone agrees upon, that would solve a world of good. Why bicker about the crumbs on the table? There is a divide and conquer going on. I have no doubt about it. I don't know if it's intentional, but people are being distracted, which causes apathy, and there is a lot of ignorance. It's just a lot of divide and conquer. We're bickering over silly things about, you know, just stupid things. There are things where the people on the left and the right do agree upon. There's like five things. I mean, most people want to end the war on drugs. 60% of the country does. And the others that don't necessarily want to, they at least don't want it criminalized. They want it rather treated as a medical issue. So you could say most everyone wants it at least decriminalized, but 60% wants it regulated and taxed and just legal, like alcohol. That would be a major issue. I mean, if you think about over the decades how many hundreds of billions of dollars we spent and how much goes in a prison and the whole infrastructure of it and the time and energy wasted and the families that have been split apart. I mean, it's literally tens of millions. And the tax revenue that'd be raised, and if we could produce hemp. Another thing would be scaling back our military. I mean, have an invincible defense, but we don't need 800 bases around the world. We can pull out of Germany. We can pull out of some of these Asian countries like South Korea. We don't need tens of thousands of troops there. I think another thing we'll agree upon is investing in renewable energies or letting the marketplace work instead of going to war over oil. Again, if there was no oil in the Middle East, I don't think we really would be there. We're wasting trillions of dollars, trillions. That's our future. You know, I do think most people want to at least cut the debt in half. You know, I mean, it's really not healthy, and it gives us a lot less leverage. And I think another thing people would agree upon is let's audit the entire government. The Department of Defense has never been audited. The Federal Reserve, hardly, partially just once. We need to, top to bottom, just audit it. We need some election reform. I think rank voting, most people would agree on. If you don't know what rank voting is, look it up. That's something everyone could agree upon. More competition, more transparency, and crony capitalism. You know, better bid contracts. You know, so those are things we can all build consensus on, and these are big issues. You can't just say one issue is equivalent to another. That's like saying something that's 100 pounds is equivalent to something that's 1 pound, even though they're two things. But the thing that's 100 pounds has a lot more weight. Consensus, efficiency, work on the things that we, and then let's spar it out and fight over the things we don't agree upon after we work to the things we do agree upon. Isn't that common sense? Tell me if it's not. What am I missing there? So the show is about to end here. Have a great night. You know, work on the consensus. Don't be afraid of competition. Check out my channel, which is going to be active on Monday, September 12th, blogtalkradio.com/election channel. Please support it. Support how the game is played. You know, let the results be what they may. You know, it's not the map is the destination. I mean, that's kind of what it means. It's how the game is played. You keep fighting to make it a fair game. That's a game in itself, because that's going to have the best results. It's kind of like if I have all the best ingredients in a garden, I just know there's going to be good tomatoes and zucchinis and whatever. I mean, I don't have to keep watching it like watching water boil. If I keep concentrating on giving it the good environment, I can trust that it'll have good results. Whatever they may be, they're going to be good ones. So take care. This has been the Philosophy Show. We'll be back November 10th. We're taking 2 months off, but I am going to be at blogtalkradio.com/election channel. All right. Have a great day and beyond.